This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Tina Camellia alongside Shamila Ganesan and Sumitra Selvaraj. Before we get to this next story.
So we're asking you on Twitter, would you volunteer to be resettled on another planet to prevent overcrowding on Earth? 35% of you have said yes, you would. 27% of you are quite happy to be here on Earth. Thank you very much. 26% say that you would, but only if they paid you. And 12% of you say only if politicians stay. So you can take that poll at BFM Radio. You can also share your thoughts about resettling on another planet with us there. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
And the reason we're asking you that is because we're talking about something quite interesting. What do you call planets of moonish origin?
What?
Yeah. So moons that escape their planets and start orbiting their mother stars could become planets. This is based on new simulations which were published by astrophysicist Mario Susericia, I think that's how his name is pronounced, and his colleagues at the University of Antioquia in Colombia. I'm butchering all these Spanish names, sorry.
Well, first of all, the idea of moons escaping and becoming their own planets is so adorable. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're called planets, really, like, this story is my favorite of the week.
We should call this podcast Breakaway from Moon, right?
But planets could be a relatively short-lived phenomenon. Most of the planets in the researchers' simulation crashed into their planet or their star within 500,000 to 1,000,000 years. So, you know, not very long.
Yeah.
You know, but for a few planets that survived, they could have the explanation to some bizarre exoplanetary features.
Planets, exoplanets, mother star. I'm not quite up to speed on my astrological jargon. So let's call in an expert. We're going to be hearing from retired Professor Dr. Chong Hon-Yu, who is also president of the Penang Astronomical Society. Dr. Chong, could you begin by explaining some of these terminologies to us?
Yeah, so basically, there's a lot of interest and controversy on the recent possible existence of the planets. All right? Meaning you have these moons that are orbiting certain planets. And for one reason or another, these moons have been kicked out from the gravitational pull of their mother planets, and these moons have actually now orbiting their mother star. And these are called the planets, right? So there are all kinds of discoveries that have been made. Astronomers around the world have discovered, with telescope on the Earth and in space, 4,098 exoplanets, sometimes called extrasolar planets, meaning these planets are orbiting nearby stars in our Milky Way galaxy. Now, you have exoplanets. Planets, they're orbiting nearby stars, right, outside the solar system. What about these exoplanets have moons orbiting around them? So they're actually called exomoon. And of course, another one is the moon. Basically, it's like this. These exomoon, which are moons orbiting around exoplanets. Now, this exomoon might have actually satellites orbiting around the exomoon. For example, let's say, talk about hypothetical case, our own moon, which is a natural satellite of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for one reason or another, is it possible for our moon to have an object, natural object orbiting around it? Let's say an asteroid. A passing asteroid near the moon is captured by the moon's gravity, so this asteroid will be orbiting around the moon. So this will be a moon. So so far, they have not seen any moon in the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
But astronomers suspect that some of the exoplanets may have exomoon, and the exomoons will have moons.
Right.
That's it. Right? Of course, the real weird ones, you have not heard of, I've been following this for many years. I'm so excited. The free-floating planets, now, they have discovered until today 4,098 exoplanets.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these exoplanets are orbiting around their mother star. So most of the people in the world will expect that if there are any exoplanets discovered, they must be 100% orbiting around their mother star. Not true.
Yeah.
I checked recently that as of today, the astronomers have discovered using telescope on the ground and in space about 19 free-floating planets. All right?
Right. Without a star.
Without a star. That means, for one reason or another, whether these three floating planets at one time they were orbiting around a mother star, and they were, for one reason or another, they were kicked out of their stellar system, mm-hmm. and they are now traveling in between the stars. So other names of these they are called free floating planets, rogue planets, interstellar planets. But I like it. They have not coined it like it, lone ranger planet, right? So this is a good topic for science fiction writers. You know, in future, you have the aliens. I don't like aliens because they have bad connotations. I like ET, extraterrestrial. Yeah. So you have extraterrestrial or the land of Earth. They don't come in their spaceship. They left their planets orbiting around stars far away and they come towards us. So no, their planet itself is the spaceship. The free floating planet, the lone ranger planet. They've discovered 19 so far. They'll discover more. Right? Mm. Yeah.
Perhaps you could help us understand, because this study, it's a new simulation that suggests that some moons can escape their planets and start orbiting the mother star to become planets. But how exactly do these moons escape their planets?
Okay, I'll give you a good example. Our own very solar system. Mm. Of course, the point with most people, when they observe our solar system and the universe, they forgot a very important aspect of the universe. It's called time. Mm-hmm. Do you know how old our solar system is? The sun, the material in the sun, the planets, the atoms of carbon in your body, my body, the oxygen that you breathe. Our solar system is 4.6 billion years old. B as in Brazil. So if you look at the solar system over a very long time scale, hundreds of millions of years, billions of years, anything can happen. So in the early part of the history of the solar system is a very dangerous place to exist. Because, say, when the Earth was much earlier in its history, every day there are comets that will smash onto the Earth, asteroids will smash, because at that time the solar system was really young, a lot of material in between the planets, so it will crash into each other, including the Earth. But over a history of 4.6 billion years, so the gravity of the sun and the other planets, there are many possibilities. One is, you have objects that orbit around, let's say the Earth has many moons orbiting around the Earth. Mm-hmm. It's possible for the moon, either the moon can be altered by the gravity of the Earth over a long time scale, mm-hmm. it will crash into the Earth. Or it will change its orbit around the Earth, change the orbit. Or it can be even kicked out. So we use our Newton's law of gravity and you make simulation. In the past history of the solar system, a lot of these events have occurred. But now we are in a very quiet time where most of the material in the inner solar system, meaning from the Sun to Mercury, Venus and Earth, and maybe to Mars, most of those big chunks of material have been swept away. But as you go further away from Mars, you have the asteroid belt, a lot of those rocks there, dangerous place to be. And you go to Jupiter, Saturn, to Neptune. Remember now, our solar system officially has only 8 official planets, from Mercury to Neptune. Bye-bye Pluto. Pluto has been demoted. Pluto is now a dwarf planet, mm-hmm. right? So that's it. So astronomers have studied our solar system for years. In the early part of the solar system, for example, it was very chaotic. So all these kinds of things happening. I'm very sure a lot of those objects floating around the planet have either fallen into the planet, crashed into the mother planet, or kicked out from the mother planet and crashed into the sun, or even leave the solar system. It's all allowed in physics, especially if you apply Newton's law of gravity.
All right, so maybe one last one to just, I suppose, just to humor me, yeah? Because you were talking about how old our universe is and anything can happen as long as it's confined within the laws of physics. Do you think our own moon will one day become a liberated planet? And if so, what do you think would happen to the Earth if we lose our one sole moon?
Yeah, it's an excellent question, Tina. I'm very happy you raised it. I remember that fantastic telescope we see in space, Hubble Space Telescope, launched by NASA many years ago, took a lot of pictures, and they have estimated with Hubble Space Telescope and many telescopes on the Earth and in space, the age of the universe is more than 13.8 billion years. B as in Brazil. That's as old. So in a sense, the age of our solar system is one-third the age of the universe. Mm. Right? And our sun, our solar system, is the third generation star since the Big Bang. So according to astronomy science, the universe started with a tremendously violent event called the Big Bang 13.8 billion years ago. And since then, first generation stars and galaxies were formed. And some of them will die by massive explosion. And the gas and dust blown out will form the next generation of stars, the second generation. And the second generation stars, some of them will blow off and will form the third generation. We are the third, the sun, the material in you and my body, the air you breathe, is from the, it's a third generation star, right?
Right.
So now, what about the moon? We also know that the moon's orbit is not stable. And you know what? They have a scientific instrument and the telescope on the Earth. They look at the moon. Do you not observe that when you were born many years ago, when you were a little girl and today, you look that actually the moon is getting smaller and smaller. The moon is getting further away from Earth every year.
I just thought it was because as a child, because I am physically smaller, the moon seemed a lot bigger. And now that I'm an adult, the moon seemed to be...
That is it. Of course, I'm not a medical doctor or an eye specialist. So sometimes it's our own intuition, our perception.
Yeah.
But to confirm it, we need to use telescope or scientific equipment. So I don't want to bother you too much technical detail. I have to bring it in. So you apply Newton's law of gravity. You say that as the moon orbits around the Earth, there are two components of its angular momentum. It's called angular momentum. There's some rotation or orbital motion. So one is the moon is spinning on its axis. It spins once in about 1 month. That is angular momentum. And another angular momentum is the moon also orbits around the Earth once a month. So there are two angular momentum. So there's this law called conservation of total angular momentum. All right. So naturally, this law says that, and also there's also frictional losses. Do you know there is this, when you go to the beach in Penang, in KLC in Port Eastern, you see the waves from the sea come ashore and create a splash on the beach. You hear a sound, and then, do you know where the sound comes from? Part of the sound is from the sun. The sun creates the wind over the sea ocean, and these waves will splash onto the earth. But some of the sound comes from that tidal gravity of the moon and the sun acting on the waves. So these tidal waves, when they crash onto the earth, so some of the energy is lost. So one, to counter this, you apply the law of total conservation of total angular momentum. The law says that the moon has to go orbit the earth further and further. At about, they're usually about 4 centimeters per year.
Wow.
Of course, the moon does not orbit the Earth in a pure circle. It's called an egg, an ellipse. So in a certain part, when it's near the Earth, it's called perigee, very near. And very far away from the Earth, it's called apogee. So in other words, the moon actually comes towards the Earth every month, but much closer and further away. But on the average, the orbit will increase its distance from the Earth about 4 centimeters every year. And this is detected easily with our scientific equipment. One of the effects is the moon goes further away from the Earth, and the other one is there's also the loss in the Earth's angular momentum. So previously, in the early history of the Earth, during the time of the dinosaurs, 65 million years ago, 1 day of the Earth could be much shorter. Say, I don't know, could be, say, 16 hours per day. Remember, a day is defined as how long it takes to make one rotation. So many years ago, the day was shorter than the Earth, and the moon was closer to the Earth. But now, the Earth's rotation has slowed down so much that 1 day is 24 hours and the moon is further away. So in time to come, the moon will go far and far away, and it is not definitely will occur. In the future, it will occur that the moon will be so far away that the Earth's gravity on the moon is so weak that the moon will escape from the Earth. Possible. But usually, this kind of event, I think you do simulation, I guess should be in billions of years, as in Brazil.
Right.
But it can occur. So when you think about astronomy, you might think of a long time scale. Do you know, Tina, in astronomy, 10 million years is just a blink of the eye.
That was Dr. Chong Hon Yu, president of the Penang Astronomical Society, sharing with us quite excitedly, myself included, his views on the discovery of planets.
Trust you to give the moon agency by asking whether it has liberated, whether at some point it will liberate itself.
So it's quite interesting. I mean, it was a much longer conversation that I had with him, and he was really, really good at explaining all these astronomical phenomena and what happens if our moon decides to break free and be liberated. We'll be moonless. Can you imagine our nights?
Yes, and then there's also tides. I mean, yeah. I think he gave a lot of science-based facts. But there's also the issue of lunar calendars. Mm. We have many cultures around the world that depend on lunar calendars. And what would I howl at once a month?
I actually think that we would, as a culture and people, if we're still around, of course.
Billions of years.
Billions of years in some form. I think we would collectively lose our minds.
Yeah.
I think it's something that we just won't be able to process because...
Yeah. Our whole concept of time would be affected.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you said lose our minds because the word lunatic
comes from the moon. Yeah.
Luna. There you go. Yeah. And another thing that I would like to bring up is the name Plunet.
Obviously, I love it. I think it's adorable.
Yeah. Same.
No. I kind of love that astronomers or you know, people who are in charge of these things, astrophysicists or whatever, are so whimsical.
I know.
That they're not thinking of some deeply... Yeah, I know.
They're not cuddly plush toys.
So our producer, Sue Ann, shared with me earlier that one of the names that were in the running were Moon Moons.
No, Moon Moon is a different kind of...
A different phenomenon, right?
Yeah. So Moon Moons are, as Dr. Chong was explaining briefly, they are the moons of the moon.
Right. Okay, so they're Moon Moons. I mean, come on.
Moon Moon makes total sense to me.
I think they should be called Moonlets.
Aww.
They'll be more adorable. Anyway, we do have a Twitter poll running.
Yes, so in line with all of this talk of, you know, there potentially being more planets that we could consider moving to, we're asking you on Twitter, would you volunteer to be resettled on another planet to prevent overcrowding here on Earth? 35% of you have said yes, you would. 27% of you are quite happy here on Earth. 24% of you would move, but only if they paid you. And 14% of you say only if the politicians stay behind.
Did the both of you vote by any chance?
I was going to say, what would your votes be?
Yes! Exclamation mark.
My suggestion was yes, I would go in a heartbeat as long as the politicians stayed behind here in the
lake. So Cheryl WhatsApped in to ask, well, what currency would I be paid in if I were going to move? Which makes sense because if you're being paid in ringgit, I'm not sure whether they'll be useful on the planet.
No, well, it's whatever currency it is, it's probably not going to be useful outside of the country.
Yeah, outside of the country. Yeah, exactly. Sue texted in to say, the moons wanted to reach for the stars.
Aww. Oh, clever, very clever.
Yeah. And we do have Long Se Ling, who says our poll question reminds him or her of the movie Passengers. That's the one with Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. If I do decide to resettle on another planet, I do not want to reach there after 120 years. Hashtag no hibernation pod.
Well, technically it wouldn't feel like 120 years.
Yeah, because you'll be hibernating.
Mm. I mean, according to the film. Well, actually, yes, because they stay the same age in the pods.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about it like it's a real, you know, possibility here.
It might be one day. So we have been discussing about planets today, and earlier in the hour we discussed the reproductive health rights of Orang Asli. We're almost running out of time, but you can still keep the conversation going by tweeting us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or you can also look us up on Facebook at BFM The Bigger Picture.
So we did have a WhatsApp come in about our first story earlier on about the reproductive health rights of Orang Asli women, and I do find it, and this is from Kesh, who WhatsApped in to say, I do find it troubling that medication is administered without consent. Force need not be by aggression. It can be in any form. Taking away motherhood from anyone isn't right. I do have one question. How did the Orang Asli women find out about the medication given to them? So yes, obviously a lot of questions have come up because of this story that broke. And I think definitely something that we will be keeping an eye on.
And perhaps even developing into a further story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. Anyway, that's all the time we have. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcasts from our website, bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app or on Spotify. That's all from Sharmila and myself, Tina. But Sumitra will be sticking around for Live and Learn at 3 p.m., where she will be speaking with Dato' Sri Dr. Uzair Mahidin, Malaysia's chief statistician.
We didn't know we had one.
Yeah. And because yesterday was the 50th anniversary of David Bowie, Space Oddity. There's no better song to lead out with but this one. Thank you for listening, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.